Hello there, everyone. My name is Emily.
My name's Elk.
Wow, I feel like that was kind of a role reversal because you came off so bright and I came off sort of serious and and heavy and stuff.
That reflects the characters that we're going to talk about today.
Wow, we're really good at this. We should be like professionals. Are we professionals or do we have to be paid to be professionals?
Well, if I give you something like a cookie and I'm like, oh, here's for doing it, does that now make you a professional? Does it have to be like a monetary exchange?
It depends how good the cookies are.
Oh, well, I'll say they're gonna be good. You're fantastic.
Oh, then that works.
Okay, we're professionals. We're
officially professional. Officially professional podcasters. Well, aren't you guys all lucky to be listening to these newly professional podcasters? I want to have another P word, but I couldn't think of one.
Yeah, and we have our own music, so we're definitely professionals.
Oh, that's true.
What else is a
person? We're made. Milk to go with the cookies?
Okay, fine. fine. On that note, which actually is not exactly on that note, but we'll just take it anyways. So today we're going to talk about All the Bright Places, which is both the book and the film adaptation. Oh, it's also Netflix. So I hope you watched it also before your Netflix cancellation. It came out a little bit ago, so you could have. And the book is written by Jennifer Niven. We don't know how to pronounce the last name, but it's N-I-V-E-N. Take your pick of pronunciations. And then we have our pearl clutching scales are violence is a 2, language is a 4, and romance is a 4. So it's pretty high up there on the grading scales. Language is a 4 because there's just all the bad words in All the Bright Places. What?
Ooh.
Yeah, nice. It doesn't feel, it's not overloaded with swearing, but there's a lot of swearing. And then romance is a 4 because they sleep together. Not just like, oh, we reference it, but like we actually have the scenes where they're sleeping together. And it's like, come on, people, get a room. No, just kidding. They do have a room. But they're not married to each other. So stop it. Knock it off.
They're also teenagers.
Yeah, stop. And then violence is a 2 because, not because there's anything specific, like beating up wise, but because there's suicide in this. So spoiler alert, if you don't know about
Although someone does actually beat someone up, now that I think about it. Someone does get into a fight.
Oh yeah, Finch
at the school.
Gets beat up, huh? Or he beats up, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right,
And he
true.
Beats up, a little bit of both. So, but still a 2 because it's a school fight. It's not like, they're not West Side Story with knives or anything like that. It's just one school fight and then, suicide.
Right. But as soon as there's suicide, our violence scale just automatically goes up 2 points.
Right. It's an automatic 2 points.
Yeah. And then, so the basic storyline is that you've got these two teens. Actually, the first time they meet each other is up on a tower, and it seems like they're both going to jump. Even though in the film they do it on a bridge, and they kind of add in a little bit more backstory with the bridge situation, but that's where they are, and they both kind of, quote-unquote, talk each other off the ledge. And then afterwards is a school project that they have to discover. They have to discover their state, basically. So they are partners now for the school project where they go around Indiana and they discover kind of those things that like, oh, you have to be like you have to really know Indiana to know that these places are there. Like the guy who's got the roller coaster in his backyard or the tree with the shoes or something or like the personal items or the gum tree. Oh, shoot. I don't remember what's on the tree. Yeah, the tree that they go to.
Shoot.
The shoes? It is the shoes?
It is shoes.
Right. Okay. I thought so. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you go to the tree with the shoes on it or all these different places. That's kind of, you really got to drive Indiana to find them. Like you can't just go to like the big tourist hotspots. So the setting for it is actually, it's really a great setting and a great setup to have these teens going to discover the state. And I think they only have to do like 2 places, but Violet and Finch, oh, those are the 2 characters. Violet and Finch decide they're going to go to more than the 2 places. But they're going to try to cover like all the places. And those are all the bright places that they're going to, are all these places.
Yeah. I do like it. It's an interesting setup or a framework for the book to be based around, that every few days are going to different places. And then they're also in school and they're doing, you know, they're at home, but it's cool. It feels, you know, they're wandering, they're teens, they're sort of trying to find themselves, but they find themselves by finding these quirky little places. I like it.
Yeah. The one thing that the film, out of these places, they actually like found all these places in the film. So visually you do get to see all these like great places that they visited. The actors, they didn't, I don't know if they casted, I don't know if the casting was the greatest, especially because the Violet character, she really like downplayed the part. She was a little too understated. Even when she has like her quote unquote big speech at the end or like the big presentation at the end, it was a little underdone. Like it lacked some of the impact that the book had.
Yeah. I wonder if that was casting or just something about the directing that they didn't make the characters nearly as interesting in the movie. And I know I'm sort of like you in terms of adapting from a book to a film or a TV show. It's not going to be the same. So you're not going to have all of the same scenes. You might even, you know, sometimes they combine characters or add a new character to make the story make more sense. Things like that I'm totally on board for. But, and you can't have, like in this, in the book, in All the Bright Places, we see it from both Finch's and Violet's point of view, and it switches back and forth between them. And of course, in a book, you're going to see more of someone's point of view because you can write down all their thoughts, and you can't see all of that in a movie, and I get that. But because they didn't have that, they also didn't have whatever made Violet and Finch interesting people, and they didn't find a way to compensate for it. Like Finch, for instance, he runs a lot, so they show that, though he runs with headphones on, and I don't remember in the book if he runs with headphones, but I feel like the real Finch would not run with headphones. He would specifically be trying to experience everything that was happening around him. And also, in the book, he has different Finches. So he'll become, like, all-American Finch when he dresses in polo shirts and his hair is perfectly done. And then he has cool Finch who's, you know, leather jacket and doesn't care about anything. And I thought that was really, it just showed one of his many sides. They are his many sides because he's all these different characters. And they didn't do that in the movie.
Right, that's
and it
true.
Was just, it made him so... The characters just felt more one-dimensional in the movie than they did in the book. They were flat.
Yeah. That's true. That's also because one of the big things that they deal with, well, that this deals with, and they don't, I don't think they mention it right away in the book, but like you realize that there's something a little bit off about Finch, and it does lead, so we mentioned already that the violence is added to because of suicide. This does lead, we do eventually discover that Finch is bipolar and he's not getting the help that he needs, which is probably one of the most frustrating parts of the book because you're like, this is something that could be dealt with. All he needed was the help, but because nobody knows how to identify it, it's just like, oh, that's Finch, not, wow, I think there's something wrong with Finch. Because when Finch is great, he's great. But when he's not in his good place, he's not great. And everyone just like his friends and even Violet, like they don't know how to handle it. And Finch is not really any, there's not really any parent figures in Finch's life. He's basically, he's mainly taken care of by his sister. There's the guidance, right? It's like a guidance counselor in school, I think, who's trying to take care of Finch and he's trying to get through. And Finch is not having any of it. And like he does, like he cleans out his room and moves into his closet and like things like that, which is, I think in a general thing for suicide, if someone's planning suicide, right? One of the things they do is they give away all their stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of. So nobody knows to recognize that as a red flag.
Yeah.
So at and the end he of the book, also, it does, sorry.
No, you go.
The end of the book, it does, the author does in her note, she does mention that this is sort of based on something that happened in her life, which she doesn't go into the details about it. But when you read that, you're kind of like, oh man, that's so sad. This is so crazy. But so I don't know if part of this book is also to like, hey, if you see something that you're not comfortable with, speak to either an adult or professional, say, is this a red flag? Or just a personality quirk, right? Because just say like, oh, someone's weird. Like, okay, well, we're not all going to be the same person. But if someone's like, no, this is a sign of X, the professional needs to keep an eye on it now to see if this is actually linked to something. That is a real thing. And so that's kind of like there's nothing to do about it. It's the story. But that's kind of frustrating with the story is that like Violet and the sister and the friends, they don't know how to deal with this. And they don't know that Finch is acting this way because he needs professional help.
Right.
Not in a facetious way, but he needs it.
But he needs it, which is fine. He also, avoids getting, like when he's with the guidance counselor, he's very evasive, and he does go to a support, a suicide support group. And he talks a few times about not wanting to be labeled. And I was thinking about it a lot because I know, you know, people talk about stigma around mental health and all these things. I'm sure there is still a stigma, but I think it's been totally lessened. So if you do get help for things, if you ask for help these days for things, I think you're in a much better place than you would have been even 10 years ago.
And there's much more encouragement.
Certainly more. Yeah. And also the idea of being labeled, I think he talks, it's either in the book or in the movie, or maybe it was in her afterword of the book about, you know, someone with a bipolar disorder, that's how they are labeled, but someone with cancer doesn't get labeled that way. But I think it could be the same. I think you could go and say, hey, I have bipolar disorder, not I am a bipolar person. I have bipolar disorder, but I'm also all these other things. So you can have a label, but it doesn't have to define you unless you let it define you. I mean, people might think of you mainly that way, but you can't really help how people think of you. Like, people call him a freak, right? That's Finch's nickname. People call him a freak, which is awful and mean, but he sort of leans into it a little bit and then becomes extra weird. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing that he leans into it as opposed to just ignoring it and being who he wants, but high school's hard and it's fiction, so whatever. But I think it's okay to be labeled and then also choose whether or not you let that label define you or not.
Right.
It's up to you.
Right. They also, I don't remember if they showed it as much in the book, but in the film also they're showing how kind of Finch's, we'll just call it the eccentric personality, helps open Violet up after like the tragedy that she suffered. So they're kind of like showing like, oh, all this stuff that kind of makes Finch, you know, like given the different sides, this is what helps open Violet up to, you know, embracing life again, all that kind of stuff. But that just shows that just because there's different aspects of the personality, there are good ways to channel it. Like, it's okay to get, you should get help if you need the help. Like, people just get sunk in their own situation. They enter this like denial mode. And it's just like, why do that? You could get help. Just people get help if you need help.
Yes. That's the message takeaway. If you need help, get it. It's okay to need help. People need help for things. And that's fine. Like, Elt needs help folding her laundry. She's really bad at folding. And it's fine. Not everyone has a master's degree in folding like some of us do. And that's okay. But there's still so many wonderful things about Elt.
Rolling the laundry.
You people see what I have to put up with? Or you hear what I have to put up with?
Well, I don't touch her laundry. It's just my laundry and everything's neat. Oh, by the way, should I add in one more thing? The one thing about this book, so as far as the setting is great and this idea of like, you know, getting help and all these things, it's all great stuff. I don't know why the language has to be so bad. There's always a way around that. And with the romance, there's like this theme for, okay, aside from the fact that all these teen books now have everyone sleeping together and stuff like that, but there's also this thing that, like, if someone's going to die, like, they have to sleep with somebody first, almost. Like, I don't know where that comes from. There's so many, there's this book, there's, what's the John Green book? Fault in Our Stars. There's so many books where it's like, oh, before someone dies, just make sure they sleep together first. Like, no.
Like, that's the one thing, like, make sure you get to Disney World and make sure you have sex with someone before you die, or your life isn't fulfilled.
Yeah, and in the film, they do it on this train, which is like, what are you doing? And why are they showing it in the film? Why do they need to show it?
They're teenagers. I feel like anytime it's, even people who are just supposed to be teenagers, if we're showing them having sex, even if the actors are over 18 or whatever, if we show any parts of it other than kissing, it's weird.
Yeah, well,
and uncomfortable.
They're underage. They're both underage.
What? That's what I'm saying. It's weird.
It's also, why do we need to see it? Like, even if you don't want to take that part out because it happened, like, there's a before and there's an after. There's not, like, what are you doing? Like, I don't understand why they felt like, no, this is an essential scene to keep in. No, it's not.
Right.
No, it's
meanwhile,
not.
They didn't really keep in. There's one scene where he totally repaints his room and he takes down all the notes.
Right.
In the movie, he takes down, like, half of the notes and repaints one little corner of the room.
Right.
And it misses the point. The point is that, I mean, he's manic, right? So this huge change that in the middle of the day or the night, whatever time it is, he goes and he repaints his entire room, and he's repainting and painting because the blue won't go over the red, and how it frustrates him.
Right.
And in the movie, I think the movie, it sort of has the tone of what the cover of the book would make you feel like, but not what the actual book is, if that makes sense. Like, the front of the book is like pretty and it's bright colors, and there is a sort of interesting feeling as you're reading the book of hope and optimism and sort of chillness, because it's not one of these like teen thrillers or post-apocalyptic things.
Right.
So the movie has that, but it misses all the heart and all of who these characters really are. And I think in a way that is sort of detrimental if the book and movie are trying to make a point and help teens who actually have things going on in their life.
Right. Right.
To just make them so flat. Also for people who are watching it, because take care of your audience, and this movie did not. But the book does. I really like the book, so I recommend it even to grown-ups.
Or only to grown-ups, because they can handle it. No, just kidding.
Oh, yes. Well, older teens. Definitely for older teens. I wouldn't give it to a 14-year-old, but 17, 18, maybe 16.
Right. Like they just keep your pearls ready. Oh, your pearls should always be ready. That's our life. That's always our have life your pearls motto. Ready. Yeah.
Always have your pearls ready.
That's painted above the door of our bunker is always have your pearls ready. Then we have Pearls Worldly Clutched is all over. That's painted all over the kitchen and the viewing area and the library. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're always wearing pearls. Just
yeah, of course we're
always just in case we need to clutch them.
Yeah, what? You don't sleep in your pearls? Everybody sleeps in their pearls. Yeah.
Well, you have to look good. What if there's a fire and the firemen break in? You don't want them to see you not looking your very best.
Oh, I was just thinking about clutching the pearls. So if they come in, you can clutch our pearls and say, oh, no! Don't worry, guys. It's not going to be a fire. This place is proof. It's everything proof.
Everything proof. Except for gophers.
Mm, well.
Look, it's really hard to make things gopher proof. We worked on it, and those little things just get in. You can't help it.
Especially because Emily keeps feeding them, but she won't admit to it.
Well, thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll catch you next week.
Cheers, everyone.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the Pearl Clutching Basement Dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word Podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.